And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carayannis.
MC, what Easter eggs are you getting today?
I enjoyed the Nigel Plum reference.
Yeah, do you understand it?
I got it.
Thank you.
He was like a mummy.
Yeah.
Towards the back end of his career, with all the taping that he used to wear.
Yeah.
Well, you can never call Plum soft, could you?
No.
Okay, Michael. No, what's the Easter have in light? I'll let myself out. What's Easter? What's in store for you today, this Good Friday?
Well,
you strictly by the book?
Boys, it's not a Greek Easter for another month, so not too much down my end. Just a normal day.
So, just help me out there. So, the Greeks don't celebrate this weekend at all?
No acknowledgement.
Greek Orthodox, Vossi.
Yeah, different calendar, Vossi. So, when we fast, well, the dedicated ones, abstain from meat and stuff for 40 days. I do a week, Holy Week, and then Good Friday is a different for us as well. So, just a normal day for me today.
Okay, well, no acknowledgement then that you're putting in the big ones on a public holiday then. It means bugger all
to
you.
Well, it is still a public holiday that I'm working on.
Yeah. And in relation to Greek Easter, then James's point that if you lock in Good Friday, it always has to be a Friday and then Easter Sunday. How come Christmas Day isn't locked into a day? a particular day. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do the Greeks have any sort of buy-in there? Why can't Christmas Day always be like a Monday? We'd always have a long weekend. Yeah. It wouldn't be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
I don't know. These are areas I'm not across, boys, but I've never thought of that. Good point. Missed you on fire this morning.
Yeah, it's just the things that go through my mind, MC. I was actually the opposite way. Why isn't Easter locked into a day? If we know that Jesus was born on Christmas.
Oh, that's where the point is. Yeah, you're saying it's always December 25, the birth of Christ, but why is Good Friday not a particular date?
Yeah, why
don't
we know when he
died? Friday. It could be a Tuesday.
There's about a month worth of dates that can be. I think it's like sort of 20-something of March to the 20-something of April. There's a month of days he could have died.
But that you celebrate.
Weird.
Now, the next one, Michael, for you from Missile's mailbag that you might not have... You haven't had a chance to react to last week. It's far removed from what we've just been talking about. But James made a really good point last week in the mailbag. I'd love to get your opinion on the distribution of condoms in the Olympic Village. Why do they still do that? All week I've been sharing that with people saying, what a great point from James. Yeah, the mailbag... Nailed it last week. Why do grown men and women, adults, need to be given free condoms in the Olympic Village? What's that about? 200,000, I think you said, James.
300,000.
300,000.
And they're saying it might not be enough.
Wow. Why are they getting for free? What's that about, Michael? How does that work?
It's not schoolies. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. They're not kids.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think the only time I use them, I fill them up with water and threw them at people like water bottles. a little peek behind the curtains of the Olympic Village, not what you expected, probably.
It's not a bit of a drama this time around, is it? Because aren't the athletes exiting straight after their event, Missile?
Yeah, don't worry. Some of them will still get about their work, I reckon.
300,000. All right, now let's get back onto it. What a good start to the segment. Those listening on the podcast, you must be enjoying this content. What's the latest with Zach Lomax and his agitation to leave the Dragons? What is the mail, Michael?
Yeah, so the Dragons, when Zach first approached them in the off-season, just before the season started, about the potential for a release, they said, no way. We're not even going to entertain it. Let's give you a month to see how things are and settled after the first four games. Well, that's come to a head now. So that's next week after the first four games. And, it's still the Dragons are of the belief that Lomax will still potentially ask him for an immediate release. And the Dragons have no intention to release Zach Lomax immediately. Parramatta are circling. The only way the Dragons would let him go this year is if they can get something significant in return in terms of a player. But it does open the door for him to leave at the end of this year, and they may not need a player in return. Just the fact that if someone's willing to pick up almost all of his $800,000, that might be enough to allow him to get out of the door. So the Dragons aren't going to let him go for nothing this year, and they're not going to go and chip in a significant amount of his wage to go play elsewhere in the next couple of years. So these are, you know, there's still a lot to play out for that, but there's no meeting scheduled for next week, but the Dragons are anticipating a call from Lomax's management at some stage next week.
Who would you accept as a swap from Parramatta, MC?
You know, the pipe dream stuff would be young Blaise Talangi, a guy that's off contract with massive upside, who can play in the halves and play in the outside backs, which is, you know, an area the Dragons need some work in. Otherwise, you know, you scan their forward pack and there's, you know, a few handy forwards still in amongst that Parramatta side. You know, Regan Campbell-Gillard, Junior Palo, Jermaine Hopgood. You know, like, for the way Zach Lomax is on $800,000, right? So that is a high quality wage. That's a superstar in your team. So you're going to want someone half decent for that deal to happen immediately. I don't think Parramatta would come at that. So it's probably a stalemate this year.
Yeah. What if he gets to Parramatta and they play him on the wing? Anyway.
There is a chance for that, Vossi.
Of course it could be. Blaise Talangi now on the scene. Will Pennacini.
Yeah.
Is it what the centre spot are given? Talangi might be never playing lower grades again. If he excels on Monday at 5'8", well, he's not going to stick in the halves, is he? He will for short term because Moses is out. But once Brown and Moses are back available, then you have to find a spot for him. He might be that good.
Yeah.
See that moment where he bowled over the top of Trbojevic? That's a pretty big moment in your first game in first grade.
It was impressive.
He's a good player. He's a good player that's come through the ranks there at Parramatta.
What about the criticism, the bunker copping last night? Now, your colleague, Buzz Rothfield, very strong. Wow, he's had a gutful.
Off his deathbed.
Yeah, off his deathbed, sending the tweet on X that he's had enough. He's had an absolute gutful of it. And I agree. The rule was not written. Obstruction rule is not there to be... There's not meant to be rights of defenders 11 metres past the defensive line. Come on.
Yeah.
If he took him out... If Warrior Hargreaves shoulder charged Dylan Edwards or grabbed him, whatever. No, Edwards has got to run past him. He's run through the line. He's got to run past him, hasn't he?
Yeah, I thought you noted it last night, Vossi. How far do you want him to run? You know, like, I'm with you. I thought that was spot on. It was confusing. And then, you know, I thought the bunker, there was a few strange calls last night. Satili Tupanua's try. And then the one where Luke Keary sort of avoids the lead runner a little bit in the defensive line. If Luke Keary doesn't try and get out of the way, in one, I think it's Liam Martin that runs through. He doesn't get out of the way and he initiates contact, which we've seen at times this year already, then that probably would have been an instruction call too. But because he had the foresight to step, he actually stepped out of the way to avoid the defender to try and make the tackle before, I think it was Taruva that scored in that corner. So
yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing at the moment.
James, Michael, quick poll. Should Graeme Annesley respond to that JWH try today, or do we have to wait until next? Well, it'll be Tuesday, won't it? I think you're obliged on this one. See, if I was Trent Robinson last night, I would have gone this tact. I would have sat down at the post game press conference, and said, "I'm here on behalf of the entire game. What the is going on with this? Like, please explain this rule to all of us right now. Tell us how the hell did we reach this point?" Because I'd be frustrated beyond belief with that one. I would have said, I'm there on behalf of the game, not just the Roosters. I'm there on behalf of everyone in the game, every fan, every coach, every player. How is that a penalty? How is that?
Yeah, I don't reckon Graeme Annesley will be working today. Not on a public holiday.
Yeah. Sitting back eating food, seafood.
Yeah, it's only the real workhorses that go the big lift on Good Friday.
Yeah, okay. Really
Greeks.
Quickly to finish, Michael, he's Greek Easter, Graeme Annesley Annopoulos is not celebrating Easter. Now, a couple of quick Queensland stories to finish.
Yeah. An interesting one, Jack Gajewski. Obviously not not a massive name, but it's intrigued. This week he's named to the North Queensland squad, the 17, to play Brisbane, but he's asked for an immediate release to join the Broncos. North Queensland have knocked it on its head for now. Obviously, you know, nothing was going to transpire this week. They've, you know, so that look for that one to play out next week, and the next couple of weeks. Obviously, Brisbane have a few injuries in their forward pack. They never really replaced Kurt Catewell at the end of the season, and they're looking for a bit of experience to add as some cover into that forward pack. But yeah, a bit of intrigue around that just because he's lining up for the Cowboys against the Broncos tonight.
Interesting.
Jack Kochevsky. And Gold Coast Titans, they want Nathan Brown to come into Desi's coaching staff. Would that work?
Yeah. Well, Nathan Brown is moving to the Gold Coast, leaving his Sutherland Shire base and finished up at Parramatta at the end of last year where he's doing some pathway stuff. But, yeah, it looks like Nathan Brown and the Titans with Des Hasler has had some discussions around joining the club. What that role will be, I'm not sure. It might be similar to what he was doing at Parramatta in terms of, you know, pathways and coaching at the elite junior level. You know, Des has got his NRL staff locked in at the moment. But, you know, there's that potential for him to join the Titans coaching staff. I think Nathan Brown's a really sharp mind. I think he's outstanding at that junior level for sure. He's got a great eye for talent. He's a good communicator. So anyone that can get him on board, I think he's a real asset.
Good coach of coaches. Very important role at the moment at clubs. Over in the Warriors, Andrew McFadden is playing a very important role in the development of coaches because that's an area that the coaches need to be coached at the lower levels, and that's a role he's playing. Michael, great report on this Greek Easter. No acknowledgement of Good Friday.
Just Friday.
Day.
Just Friday.
Yeah, it's just a Friday. So thank you anyway for putting in.
Happy Easter to everyone out there as well. See you guys.
Yeah, I said with great sincerity. 24 and a half after 7. We are here for Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, James, contact Bryden's Lawyers.
Give us a call right now on the Great Southern Bank Open Line, 1300 01 1170. You can be in the running for the Club Med Caller of the Year and the chance to win a trip to Bali worth almost $10,000. And we'll be awarding our Club Med Caller of the Week at the end of today's show. Thanks for making the switch to Sydney's home of sport, SEN 1170 AM.